Highbridge, a division of Recorded Books, presents Breakthrough, a story of hope, resilience, and mental health recovery. By Ahmed Hankir. Read by Josh Bloomberg. Limit of liability, disclaimer of warranty. While the publisher and authors have used their best efforts in preparing this work, they make no representations or warranties with respect to the accuracy or completeness of the contents of this work, and specifically disclaim all warranties, including, without limitation, any implied warranties of merchantability or fitness for a particular purpose. No warranty may be created or extended by sales representatives, written sales materials, or promotional statements for this work. This work is sold with the understanding that the publisher is not engaged in rendering professional services. The advice and strategies contained herein may not be suitable for your situation. You should consult with a specialist where appropriate. The fact that an organization, website, or product is referred to in this work as a citation and/or potential source of further information does not mean that the publisher and authors endorse the information or services the organization, website, or product may provide, or recommendations it may make. Further, listeners should be aware that websites listed in this work may have changed or disappeared between when this work was written and when it is heard. Neither the publisher nor authors shall be liable for any loss of profit or any other commercial damages, including but not limited to special, incidental, consequential, or other damages. Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. Dylan Thomas. If living with a mental health condition has taught me anything, it's that the cognitive capacity of the mind to receive and to conceive ideas is something that should never, ever be taken for granted. There have been periods in my life during which my mind was so shattered that it was unable to comprehend and concentrate and to produce any meaningful or coherent thoughts. Reading a book, let alone writing one, would have been an impossible task during those trying times. I am immeasurably grateful and extremely fortunate that I was able to recover and regain my cognitive powers. That being said, recovery, certainly for me, was a gradual, slow, and painful process that took many years. I, however, was one of the lucky ones. Far too many of us tragically continue to experience severe symptoms of a mental health condition, no matter what we do or how hard we try. I think of people living with bipolar affective disorder, schizophrenia, and schizoaffective disorder. Those held captive by paranoid and persecutory delusions, or tormented by terrifying voices and visions. Persons at the behest of sudden and extreme fluctuations in mood, which can be hugely distressing, to the degree that they are associated with the highest suicide rates. Many of us perhaps take for granted the stability of our moods, and/or are unaware of how immobilizing and disabling psychotic symptoms, delusions, and hallucinations can be. I also think of those with dementia and other types of neurodegenerative conditions, who are unable to express themselves due to the devastating fragmentation of memory. My heart breaks for persons living with eating disorders, which have the highest mortality rate of all psychiatric disorders. It weeps for those amongst us living with anxiety disorders, such as obsessive-compulsive disorder and post-traumatic stress disorder, the intrusive symptoms of which can be enormously crippling and debilitating. Not enough is being done for people living with these cruel conditions. Not enough awareness is being raised. Not enough specialist support, social care and mental health care, is available. The quality of that care, when it is available, has also often been described as poor and inadequate. The human rights violations of persons living with severe mental health conditions and psychosocial disabilities, and the stigma and discrimination they face, is also another major issue, and is a stain on our collective conscience. The catalog of injustices goes on and on. A government is judged based on how they treat the most vulnerable in society. If we look at how people living with severe mental illnesses are being treated, the government has failed spectacularly. This is unacceptable. We need to do more. We must do more. People living with severe mental health conditions have been let down for far too long and deserve better. More attention must be given. More resources must be allocated. More high-quality and easy-to-access specialist support must be provided. I dedicate this book to persons who cannot formulate and express their thoughts because of the severity of their symptoms and how injured their minds are, but also to those amongst us who are able to speak out, but who are stigmatized and shunned, and towards whom a deaf ear is turned. This book is dedicated to the voiceless individuals who haven't been given a platform to amplify their views and share their stories and testimonies, but instead are ridiculed and silenced. Our hearts grieve for you, and go out to you and to your loved ones, and to all those who provide you with informal support. You are the true unsung mental health heroes, and you deserve so much more than a dedication. I hope this book raises awareness of your plight, but also of your dignity and grace, as you continue to fight that good fight, and as you rage against the dying of the light. Dr. Ahmed Hankir, Ontario, Canada, October 2023. Preface. In July 2005, I was 22 years old. I woke up one morning in a dilapidated and squalid terrace house in Moss Side, the roughest area in Manchester, England, and I suddenly started to cry, irrepressibly and inconsolably. For months, I had been in denial that I was mentally unwell, despite the conflagration in my wake. Whilst the bridges in Lebanon were burning, literally, this was during the 2006 Lebanon-Israel War, which was a factor that contributed to my breaking point, I had burnt bridges in the metaphorical sense with my very own family, and people who, at the time, I considered to be my closest friends. I had been forced to interrupt medical school, and I was impoverished, shunned, and ostracized. The insight switch abruptly turned on, and I was completely overwhelmed with reality. What had I done? What had happened? All of my hard work to get into medical school flushed down the drain in what seemed like the blink of an eye. So, I cried, and I cried, and I continued to cry until there were no more tears left for me to shed. It was the loneliest, most isolated, and afraid I have ever felt in my entire life. If ever there was a rock bottom, this was it. Later that night, I would leave the house and walk up and down Oxford Road. The prospectus that was posted to me before I started medical school in 2003 stated that this was one of the busiest bus routes in Europe. I would look towards the oncoming traffic, and thoughts of thrusting myself under one of the buses flooded my mind. "This pain is just too unbearable," I would think to myself. May 2022. You know that feeling when you're waiting for the President of France to finish giving his speech so that you can give yours? World leaders and health ministers from all 194 member states of the World Health Organization, WHO, had gathered for the WHO World Health Assembly at the Palace of Nations, the headquarters for WHO, in Geneva. And there he was, the charismatic Emmanuel Macron himself, exuding panache and mesmerizing the audience, me included, with his manner. Every year, the Director General of the WHO, the Honorable Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, selects individuals and groups to receive the WHO Director General Award for Global Health. In 2022, I was selected to be a recipient of the award. Words cannot begin to describe how...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?